Brandon Taylor was a biomedical researcher at the University of Wisconsin-Madison before leaving the field to become a writer and editor. His debut novel, Real Life, follows Wallace, a young black and queer man from the South trying to get his footing as a graduate student in a mostly white Midwest college town. Throughout the book, the protagonist navigates his relationships with colleagues, friends, and a love interest, while also feeling increasingly isolated. The novel has been getting glowing reviews, with O, the Oprah magazine, calling it a blistering coming-of-age story. Brandon Taylor talked with Central Time executive producer Judith Sears-Poisson about it, about his work.
Your main character, Wallace, is black, gay, and from the South. And the feeling of being on the outside looking in as a grad student in Madison is really palpable. How much of that is from your own experiences?
Much of it, in fact. I was a graduate student here from about 2013 to 2017, and, you know, it was a difficult time. I mean, it was also a great time. It was really beautiful. The city, I mean, Madison's a great place to be a young person and to kind of figure that out. But graduate school itself is like a fairly precarious time. So I spent a lot of time feeling kind of lonely and on the edge of things.
And my sense of Wallace is that he has a really deep emotional well, but he's really closed that off for most of his life. And when he starts allowing himself to have some feelings, a lot of others come rushing to the surface. Is that how he felt to you?
Yeah, I mean, I in writing Wallace, I was interested in trying to explore a character who had a great deal of feeling and who was really sensitive and alert to the world, but who, for various reasons of self-preservation, had kind of closed that off. And I wanted to explore what happens when that dam begins to break and to sort of chart not only the feelings of the moment, but like that long lifetime history of all the buried stuff that he just didn't let himself feel just to survive it, you know. And so that certainly was a part of the motivating energy of the novel for me as I was writing it.
It seems like the past traumas that Wallace deals with give him feelings of worthlessness and that he's not as lovable as many of his peers, and many of his peers being white people. I think that's something that so many of us can relate to.
Yeah, I think that the culture teaches us all things about ourselves and ways we internalize narratives about worthiness. And I think we all do, in fact, go around feeling like other people have it better. Other people their life is so easy. And it's because we only have like the surface level of like what's going on in their lives. And we don't know that the people that we love most often, in fact, also feel these feelings of unworthiness. And I think part of that is just because, you know, we live in a world of surfaces and projections, and we live in a world where we're always trying to put forward our best image. But, you know, when you're sort of at home alone, you're really thinking about all the mess of your life. And I think the novel kind of charts what happens in a friend group when we don't really know people as well as we think we do.
And those relationships are always inherently messy. And then you put on the layer of, you know, flirting and relationships and, you know, is this person really my friend? Is this person really interested in me romantically or not? It gets really complicated.
Yeah, I mean, but that as a writer is one of my most, that's one of the things I'm most interested in, is like the inherent messiness of human connection and human relation. And you know, like when you're a grad student, you're trying to figure out so many things about your life and like love lives and like dating within programs. It's always such a fraught space. And so that was just like a really rich place for me as a storyteller. I just had a lot of fun teasing out, you know, all of the various conflicting agendas and does he like me? Does he not like me? Are these people my friends? Are they not my friends? I just find that just like such a rich space as a writer.
Wallace is a graduate student, as we've been talking about. His work is in biochemistry, and he's studying and running experiments on a particular type of worm. He and others in the book comment on how they are not suited to life in the real world. And I have to say, even going back to my own graduate school experiences, it is such a pressure cooker and social bubble that you are in with these people, especially I was in the humanities, but in a lab environment, you are around these people for many hours a day. They are often also your social group. I mean, it is a really kind of unnatural social environment. And I actually couldn't help but think that Wallace and his colleagues, his friends, weren't that far removed from these worms that he was raising in this very rarefied environment.
Oh, that's kind of an amazing comparison. I hadn't quite thought about that. But I mean, certainly, I think that there is something about academia, because it is kind of a petri dish in a way, right?
Like
it's this isolated social setting where the media is like very closely regulated. The conditions are very closely regulated because you're trying to turn young minds into like brilliant researchers in a field, you know? I kind of love that comparison because they are like little organisms under close observation.
Well, and there's also this weird inherent competitiveness when you are trying to be the top in your field or one of the best or at least recognized, and there are so few positions that you might actually be able to get into. So while they are the people closest to you, they are also your biggest competition.
Yeah, and I think that also just extends to the nature of like mentorship as well, because in essence, their mentors are training them to replace them at some point, but often the mentors don't actually want to retire. And so it's like this very weird environment where it's like very collegial and very supportive, but also they are such scarce resources that like if you stop to think about the material reality of it, it's like, oh, these people who are my dearest friends, they also are going to want jobs someday, and those are the same jobs that I want. And so I have to see them as like future competitors, mm-hmm. but also colleagues, but also peers, but also my dear friends. Like it's incredibly messy and really, really fraught.
We're talking with Brandon Taylor right now about his debut novel called Real Life, based on his own experiences as a graduate student here in Wisconsin. And there were aspects of your novel, Brandon, that reminded me of another recent debut novel by another African-American author. It's called Everywhere You Don't Belong by Gabriel Bump. And especially the aspect of never feeling quite at home, quite like you belong, no matter where you are or who you are with. I felt that in both of the books. In your experience, is that a challenge for many African-Americans, regardless of their sexual orientation?
I really love Gabriel Bump. We did an event together recently. He's just, he's so talented. You know, I do think that for many people of color, and speaking as an African-American myself, I do think that that is something that when I talk to my other black friends, that's something that comes up a lot. We talk a lot about feeling kind of both wanted in these spaces and also like very unwanted. And it's just like, it's incredibly difficult. It's a really challenging thing to navigate, you know, even progressive spaces as a person of color, because often these progressive spaces, as accepting and, you know, progressive and liberal as they are, they also sit upon a bedrock of, you know, like white fragility and like white supremacy. And so like it's difficult to navigate that, even when people have such good intentions. Sometimes those intentions come out in ways that are actually harmful and damaging. And with this book, I was really determined to write, you know, to write that nuanced reality, because it's not that people are bad or evil. It's just that it's hard to be a person in the world, mm-hmm. you know, like it's hard to make your intentions felt and known. And even when you do your best, sometimes it's not enough. And sometimes it does do harm. And I think that the novel kind of articulates that. Like it's trying to get at the fact that no one is perfect, no one is 100% right, and that when you live in a society, you participate in both doing harm and you are harmed by it.
While you did say that you're drawing in large part on your own experiences at school here in Madison, did writing through Wallace's eyes bring you any new insights into those experiences, kind of, you know, bringing the circle around?
I think so. You know, when I was writing the novel, I was revisiting some really quite negative experiences. And through writing, I came to understand kind of the other side, not to sort of pardon some of the things that were done to me or to excuse them. But I think I did come to a place of deeper understanding and empathy for those people. And I came to understand, you know, sort of how a person could think that what they were doing was right. And so, yeah, I think the novel did bring me, no, I don't say closure, but it did bring me some understanding. And that understanding, I think, was really helpful in understanding the place. And I think also in writing it, I came to understand that I actually really love Madison. It was an incredibly rich time in my life when I learned how to be an adult and how to be in the world. And it's a time that I wouldn't take back for anything. Like, I would never want to sort of erase it, even though some of my experiences were negative.
What kind of response have you gotten to Real Life so far?
I had really modest expectations for this novel because it's a very quiet novel about some scientists in Madison on a weekend. And I thought maybe some people would read it. But the response has been so generous and so moving. So many former scientists have read it and reached out to me and said that it felt so much like their own experiences. And so many of my dear friends in Madison who were part of my science cohort have read the novel and have just been so loving and full of support and kindness. And so it's been more than I could ever have imagined. It's just been so incredible.
And Brandon, what's next for you?
I'm finishing up edits on a short story collection that I think should be coming out next summer.
Well, we will look forward to that and to talking with you about it. Brandon, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That was writer Brandon Taylor. He talked with Central Time executive producer Judith Sears Poisson about his debut novel, Real Life. Coming up, we'll talk to a policy analyst about what the Wisconsin government learned from 2008's Great Recession and what it could mean as the state faces a possible economic downturn amid the novel coronavirus outbreak.